It's great if your salespeople bring XYZ partner in on every single opportunity, but if you never closed any business, like that's not good, right? Why? Are they too expensive? Maybe they're not a great fit. So that's the two things I'm looking at, but obviously that's going to evolve. But I think those are important, right? That's how you track the success of the program.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you as always to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
I love coming to this conference. I've only been here an hour, and I've had amazing discussions already. So I think I like coming here to share my knowledge, but I'm here to learn, too, because this building an ecosystem, and Jason's right, seems to be the buzzword, and he stole what I was going to say. I was going to say, what's the buzzword? Ecosystem, ChatGPT. So we won't bore you with that, but I think ecosystem is definitely the buzzword right now in partnerships. And not only am I going to talk about that today, but I'm actually in the active process of building this out at 8x8. So looking to learn a little bit as well as share some of my knowledge. So why are ecosystems critical to your business? I think we all could agree the pioneer here with the ecosystem is definitely Salesforce, right? Salesforce, they did a great job of this. They had a CRM, which essentially is a relational database, right? So on its own, you've got to have a way to get data into it and data out of it. So what did they do? They partnered with all these companies that were either existing business systems within inside of an organization or all these other peripherals for productivity and data extraction because they really couldn't do it on their own. They wanted to focus on the core capabilities of their CRM platform. And that's what I'm seeing in this SaaS space. So for us, the focus for our fiscal year 2024 is on contact center. And to be honest, we're a little late to the party with having a formal marketplace ecosystem. And what we're finding is when you go to market in the contact center space, you're never just selling your contact center. I mean, our competitors would be like Genesys and Nice and Contact and these other fairly large, well-known brands in the contact center space. They have huge marketplaces, right? And all of these companies that are coming together to create integrations to provide everything that you need to have a successful contact center and successful engagements with your customers who are, you know, ideally the most important part of the business, right? The revenue generating part of the business. So we as a company, 8x8, we need to focus our R&D on our core offering. I think that's likely what a lot of SaaS companies are doing, right? You want to research, develop, do whatever you can to make your platform stronger, but you absolutely can't do it all. You can't be experts in everything. You just won't scale. So just quick round of questions since ecosystem seems to be on everybody's mind. Who's here learning about wanting to build an ecosystem? Not as many people as I thought. Who's here that has a product that would help facilitate the building of an ecosystem, some sort of a platform? I figure there'd be a fair share of that. And then who's here wanting to learn how they could get their product into a SaaS platform ecosystem? Okay, great. So we got a good mixture. So it's obvious that this is something that's important. I also think that what we see is customers have very unique needs, right? So different partners for different products are not necessarily always going to be the same, right? Different verticals have different needs. So again, trying to build all those different unique capabilities into your own platform is going to be super challenging. And you've got people out there that create these niche solutions, and maybe they are very focused on a particular vertical. So why not learn from the best, right? If you want your platform to be stickier, SaaS is great, right? It's in the cloud, but because it's in the cloud, it's easier to have people churn, right? Because I'm not taking this clunky thing that's integrated on-premise, right? Customers can switch because it's in the cloud and it's fairly easy to do so, right? It's not actually technically connected physically to your business. So the deeper integrations that you have, the stickier your solution becomes. Because if I've got, in our case, a contact center, I've got four or five different business systems that I'm integrated into, and I have these other apps that are helping my agents be productive or, you know, helping my customers do some self-service through conversational AI, the chances of me churning off that platform are going to be really low because it's a working machine at this point. And there's also the consumers that are out there that are doing their own research, right? We're in this age of information. You know, gone are the days where you have to go to a trade show and learn about this kind of stuff. People are doing their own research. There's conferences built around a particular conversational AI is something we've all been talking about, right? So customers have their preferences. Also, you may come from another organization and you're now at a new organization, you're tasked with bringing in new technologies. You're likely going to want to bring on what you're comfortable with, what you know is successful, And we've seen that in our business. I'll use workforce management as an example. That is like a religion in the contact center space. Like once somebody's familiar with that and they're managing a contact center and they're managing all of their resources effectively, that thing is like their religion. And when they start at a new organization, they're going to want to bring that technology in. So you're going to want to make sure that you are integrated into the popular kind of best of breed applications, because again, your customer likely has a preference. And then the final thing, because the capitalism approach, we are all here to make money. Ecosystems can be a source of revenue as well, because you can monetize it, right? There can be a rev share. Like if you're going to sell this on your paper, well, there's going to be a motion in your business that's, again, allowing you to make some margin, but the partner is going to benefit because you're doing the sales effort. So it can be a revenue generator for yourself as well as a revenue generator for your partner. So how to structure your ecosystem? And again, something near and dear to my heart, because I'm literally doing this right now as we speak, and I've been learning a lot. Just from my background, I used to work for a Salesforce ISV prior to, I was at Vonage, now I'm at 8x8. So I have that flip side view, right? I'm building an ecosystem, but I also am very aware of what's in it for the partner and making sure that this whole thing makes sense. So I'm building it with that insight of, okay, I remember being a partner and I remember the kinds of things that I wanted to see in programs and what was successful. I think what's in it for the partner should really be the first step, right? You need to understand, why should they want to develop an integration? Why should they put this effort in, right? I think the most important thing is access to your customer base, right? This is obviously something that's an add-on. It's going to add value, but you want to, you know, get them into the program because you're going to promote them to your existing customer base as well as promote to prospects as well. You've got to have a clear alignment with your sales strategy, because if these partners come in and they build an integration and it's just sitting on your website and the sellers aren't really actively bringing them into opportunities or bringing them into your existing install base, then it's just not going to be a successful model. So you really have to have that alignment with your sales strategy. And then marketing. Marketing's hugely important, because marketing is going to create that high level air cover of your ecosystem in general, but also do highlights on specific partners, case studies. You know, maybe there's events that, you know, make sense to come together with your partner. So those three things are really what the partner sees as important in a successful partnership. Then obviously you need to do it for what's in it for you, right? Again, can't build everything, right? You've got some feature gaps, and maybe it's, we don't have the R&D to build. We're not really good at that. Let's bring in a partner to fill those gaps. You also want to make sure that you're seen as a company that takes a look at what are the best of breed solutions and provides those integrations, right? So it's your future thinking. You want to have the best of breed technology for your customers. And it's something you can shout about, like, hey, we've got our own capabilities, but we also know that there's things that we can't do. So we've got these other products. For example, we do have some native functionalities that are kind of competitive to our ecosystem. But again, they may be ahead. There may be some differentiators there. So you want to have that best of breed technology approach. You also get the benefit of having visibility in the partner's ecosystem. You know, I'll use an example of why this is important for me at 8x8. You know, a lot of these products that are ISV partners of contact center, they can't exist without tying themselves to a contact center. So when they're, you know, at events or they're promoting whatever it is, they have a whole page of logos, right? These are the contact centers that we support. So if we're not on that logo page, we may not even be in consideration, because again, if I'm a consumer and I'm looking at solutions, I might start there and work my way backwards. So it's just, again, can amp up your visibility as well. And then for the customers, because obviously our customers are super important to us, it's future-proofing their solution, right? They may not want a ton of add-ons right away, but if they can see that you've thought about these other things that will become or likely become important to them later on, that's going to be a seller for you, right? You're thinking ahead and not just thinking about solving their immediate needs. And then the flexibility. Again, it's like your ecosystem is a place for them to go shopping, right? They purchase your core product and now they've got this whole plethora of other things, some of which they may have not even been thinking about that can help their organization. So again, more on how to structure. So obviously the most important thing is sales. Probably say that a lot, but what is the sales motion? How are you going to do this? I had a conversation with someone who's probably in the elevator on the way here talking about building a lot of infrastructure on the front end and then going and backfilling partners. You know, it's one thing that I'm taking a bit of a different approach, because that's a lot of work, right? And it's even more work for the partner. And then maybe it's not even a successful engagement, right? So I think you have to kind of define, what is the sales motion? What's going to work? So you're either going to sell with that partner, bring them in where appropriate. They're going to take on the complexities of their solution, and you're going to sell your product, your SaaS offering, right? You might want to sell through. So you may want to put it on your paper and have it as an offering as well. Or you may love the technology so much that you feel like, hey, let's put this under the hood, right? So maybe a white label OEM type relationship. But again, you know, sometimes that's not always the best motion because they may have a really good brand that you want to leverage. But in some cases, white label and OEM is appropriate. And then also revenue share. So incentivizing your sellers by, you know, offering them some sort of a compensation if they bring in the solution. But if you're going to do revenue share, you do need to really make sure that you're promoting the solution because the partner's got to give up a little bit of revenue there as well. I think it's also important to not just solve right away and then move on. You want to support, you know, this is a journey, right? You're bringing them into the program, but you want them to stay in the program and you want the program to be successful. So maybe you offer different incentives and more visibility in your ecosystem if they meet different tiers. And I don't ever think you want to structure it by like the traditional methods of gold, silver, bronze, and it's all around selling. I mean, selling's important, but I think you can also incentivize on tighter integration, or maybe you have multiple APIs and a partner can integrate to more of your APIs because you've got a broader solution there. Also incentivizing mutual customers and case studies and coming together and creating awareness of the success. I also think it's really important to have a cadence with these partners. So doing things like QBRs to really get down and review the success of the program, right? So that you're not only signing them up, you're continually getting the feedback, like what's working? How could we make the program better? What do you like about the program? Or what would help you be more successful? Those kinds of things. I also think it's fun to promote collaboration within your ecosystem community. I think I mentioned before, you normally see a product being sold and then maybe three or four different ecosystem products that kind of round out the solution, right? And those are not competitive with one another. So if you can create this perfect equation of the 1+1=3, these five applications and this SaaS offering, that's your perfect contact center, right? So getting to the collaboration within your ecosystem, because oftentimes you'll find these kind of perfect, like side-by-side little equations. I was just at a conference last week around automation, because we're doing a lot with conversational AI now, and we're implementing it on our own for self-service for our customers, right? But there's a lot of talk around at this conference. Now, RPA wasn't something that we really had on our radar, but come to find out when I'm watching the customer panel, every customer that's up there was talking about their journey and they started RPA first and then conversational AI was the secondary thing. So immediately it made me realize, hey, we got to marry those two together. It seems like RPA is like conversational AI's best friend. So let's have that as a way for us to find prospects. Because if you've invested in RPA, you believe at the core of automation, then your next natural step is likely going to be something external, like a chatbot or something for conversational AI. So recruiting partners, obviously, when you want an ecosystem, you have to recruit the partners. And I think this can be a little challenging. I get a lot of feedback from our sales team. I get product people coming to me and let's sign up this partner. Let's do this. Let's do that. What I've done is really put together a formal process, right? So that it's just not shotgun approach. And certainly I shouldn't be making all the decisions, right? So we have a nomination process. So if somebody in our company feels like, hey, if we had an integration with this, we would sell more. And it's not necessarily always the sellers. It could be marketing. It could be product. It could be, you know, somebody in customer success. That nomination process, again, reactive versus proactive, but we're doing a bit of both. I've also put together a council of stakeholders. It's like a steering committee with stakeholders from sales, marketing, product, customer success, meet once a quarter. And we literally sit down and decide, okay, what's the next pillar for our ecosystem? Or hey, the existing pillars that we have, like here's the partners we feel we should be vetting out. And then that's like the hit list that me and my team go out and try to sign up. It's also really important to define the categories or the pillars within your ecosystem and not have too many, right? You don't want to have a bunch and then like a few partners in each, but just come up with what's really relevant to your solution and have those pillars. And again, you can figure that out. You don't want to copy your competitors, but you're going to their sites and seeing what kind of pillars they have in their ecosystem or what is the industry doing, right? When you go to the conferences around what your offering is, you're likely hearing, here's the pillars that are complementary to the solution. So you want to build in the right pillars. Another thing that I think is hugely important, this kind of goes back to my don't build a complex system and then try to recruit partners. I think you need to make it fairly lightweight on the front end. You obviously have to have a legal agreement because you're going to want to use logos and things like that. You're going to want to not have exposure on either side. but a super lightweight agreement that doesn't spin everybody up in hours of legal review, you know, remove that barrier. You also have to have, obviously, very detailed program guidelines, a partner program that clearly outlines the program so that they understand, okay, I'm going to put in this effort and this is what I'm going to get out of it. And you need to really have a strong pitch deck. Honestly, you are in sales when you're recruiting partners. I always say I'm not in sales, but I actually kind of am in sales because I'm selling partners on joining our program and they do have to put some sort of an investment into it. And I think the other part that's important is have a certification process. And why that's important, again, don't make it complicated. Really just have the integration that they build tested by a team that's going to offer that certification. You are going to be introducing these partners to your customers, right? Or your salespeople are going to go out and promote it and try to win business that way. You've got to make sure that the experience for the end user is desirable, it actually works, those kinds of things. So you don't want to just let people do the integration and hope for the best that they did a great job with it. You definitely want to have some sort of a way to certify. And then you promote the program, right? So one of the things I'm working with our team on is this should be something we're shouting about, right? This is exciting. We're working with these companies that are best of breed solutions. And let's get people that want to come to us, right? They can sign up on our website. I really want to start building out developer communities and get people excited about our APIs and do things like hackathons. I think there's lots of ways to also promote the program at a very high level so that people come to you and want to be a partner of your organization. All right. So best practices for success. I think recruiting for quality over quantity is always super, super important. I'll be honest with you. I could probably go out and sign up like 100 partners today. There's a lot of companies that are smaller and really want to do business with us and let's get started kind of thing. But then you just have a bunch of logos and there's no real meat to the actual process. And that's not good for anybody. So I think really recruiting for quality versus quantity is important. And I think all of the things that I just talked about will help you get to that point of who should we be talking to, right? Because you have a steering committee. You're looking at who's in there, who's in like the magic quadrant, let's say, or whose ratings at G2 are better, right? You want to have that kind of quality pool of ones that you're proactively recruiting and not overflood your ecosystem with a bunch of, you know, you're going to have competitive offerings, obviously, but you don't want to have a category that has team partners and they're all competing with one another because that'll be confusing for your sellers. They're not going to know which one should I bring in and where. And also from a marketing standpoint, that's going to be pretty hard to market. It's also very important to get that committed buy-in and support from your sales and marketing team. So if you're going to build that pitch deck of here's why you want to join our program and we're going to do the following for you, you got to make sure that's down with your marketing leads and your sales leads because they're not always going to love bringing products in that maybe they don't necessarily get paid on, or marketing may not love that they're marketing something that's not actually our own core product. But explaining in detail how this is going to benefit the organization. And then also just having the partner ecosystem and the way that we run the program, just getting alignment across the organization is hugely important. Because again, the last thing you want to do is sell somebody on the program, sign them on, and then they're not getting the deliverables. They're not getting, you know, the sellers bringing them in on opportunities. And then you've got not a successful ecosystem. You know, again, we talked about this, but starting with a simplistic program with minimal barriers for entry. We're new to this, so I can't really go out and build an app exchange like Salesforce and then ask everybody to do this kind of really crazy integration. And then, oh, I'm going to take some rev share from you. That would be really hard for me to get done, right? So I think if you're new to this and you're building an ecosystem, start with a program, an official program, but try to make it as simplistic as possible. I think another reason why this is important, I view it as almost like an incubator, right? Instead of signing up a bunch of partners and getting them to do these integrations and then, you know, putting them up on your website and hoping for the best, really working the program so that we can determine like what's successful. I mean, we all know every single partner you sign up is not going to have it success entirely. But this program, if you make it easy enough and simplistic enough, will help you get to that next level. And that next level is likely going to be a little bit more formal in maybe it's rev share, maybe it's integrated into a marketplace that surfaces in your user interface for your customers. But to do all of that upfront and work your way backwards, there's a lot of work being done. If you build it, they will come. I mean, they might come, but they might not get any success out of it and you might not either. And it's interesting. I've been talking with a lot of partners that we're recruiting now, and I'm hearing a lot of that. They're like, I'm in so-and-so's marketplace and we did all this work and it took us a year to get it over the line and get the listing live. And we really haven't seen a lot of return on investment from that. So I don't want that for our program. I want it to be successful. I think it's also important KPIs, right? We all have to define what does success look like and how are you going to measure this? Especially if you're not actually selling the products on your paper, right? So you're going to have to track kind of partner influence deals, right? And what are the attach rate to sales? That's one of the things that I'm working with now, is having a structure around when we're going to market, when we're in an opportunity. We need to have a certain amount of ecosystem partners. First of all, not just because I run partnerships and want them to do that. That's how you sell in this space, right? Like, we're all in the solution selling model, and just going in with one platform offering, you're likely not going to win that business because your competitor is in there and they're holistically solving for the needs of the organization. And I think close ratio with partners is hugely important too. It's great if your salespeople bring XYZ partner in on every single opportunity, but if you never closed any business, like, that's not good, right? Why? Are they too expensive? Maybe they're not a great fit. So that's the two things I'm looking at, but obviously that's going to evolve. But I think those are important, right? That's how you track the success of the program. And then if you can get to the point where there's a little reciprocity, even better. I mean, if you're a partner that's an ISV partner that's integrated to a platform, you don't really have something that you can deliver on your own, right? There's not a standalone mechanism there. If I'm that particular partner and I'm working with a customer that maybe has a clunky on-premise contact center, well, hey, that's an opportunity for them to recommend 8x8, right? Or maybe I'm working with a company that's just getting started and they don't have any technology in play yet. Or maybe they are working with a vendor they're not happy with. All of those things, I think, can be a reciprocal. I mean, you want to set the expectation the right way and not expect that you're going to get those leads, but doing a little bit of that enablement on both sides can create that mutually beneficial partnership. And then continually evolving the program, but always maintaining the value of it and not get too ahead of yourself and get to the point where you've built this very large, complex program, but the partners really aren't seeing the value. That's one thing I super want to focus on, is making sure doing those QBRs, reevaluating the program, talking to partners, making sure that when we are evolving the program, that's why I used evolve instead of grow, we want to make sure that it's retaining its value for our partners.
Sue, thanks so much. Sue's somebody I look up to. She's been like reinventing the idea of partnerships for so long. Each one of these bullets, you could probably do an entire talk on it in and of themselves, and just a great way of explaining some very complex things. Let's take a couple of questions
here. Yeah, for sure.
So what's your thoughts on the cart and the horse? What comes first?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in, I think that you don't want to build something and assume it's going to be successful, because you may build it the wrong way. I think you need to definitely start with having a very lightweight program, like I said, identifying who you want to partner with and what you think would make you successful. And then, you know, you have to have some structure around it. But I think don't build a complex marketplace and all of these things and then recruit. I think you have to start with the partners, what you want to build, and then work your way up to defining and putting more structure around what that marketplace should look like.
Great talk. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
You mentioned about spinning up the developer side of the ecosystem. Can you expand a little bit more about the motivation that you have for that, what the outcomes would look like, putting energy and focus in that area?
Absolutely. My background is APIs. Before 8x8, I was at Vonage, but I was on the API side, so not really the product side. So we were like the combination of Talkbox, Nexmo. That was something that we did a lot there. We had a really huge DevRel team and a huge developer ecosystem. I think it just creates that awareness, and it also allows you to put out maybe a challenge, right? Hey, come in and build this, and then you can promote what they've built, or you can partner with someone. Like, for example, when I was at Vonage, we did a whole workshop at Google's offices around their dialogue flow, and we brought developers in and we challenged them to build, you know, some sort of an integration using one of our APIs, either like a chat API or a voice API, coupled with Google's dialogue flow. And it was amazing, like the things that they came up with. So I think it just can create excitement around your offering. And it also just allows people to get in there and start building.
So could you talk a little bit about the metrics that you're held accountable for, maybe with the contact center, with the ecosystem, but on the revenue side? And what are the deliverable results that kind of you have to hit? And how do you categorize the revenue and things like that?
I can tell you, we're building that as we speak. I'm actually about to head to our office to do a workshop on that. Right now, it's going to be what I talked about before, because our ecosystem, we do have products that we sell. So we have some that are on our paper, but that's really a lot of work for us, quite honestly. We did that when we started the whole kind of alliances motion. Now we'd like to just bring ecosystem partners in, but they're not going to be sold on our paper when we're not at current doing rev share. So we got to have a way of tracking, right? So What I'm building in is a way for us to have that attach rate to pipeline and as well as attach rate to closed business. Because if we're seeing high levels of that, then in my opinion, that's showing that the program is successful because the partners are getting brought in, partners are benefiting from closing business. And it's also educating our sellers that, hey, when I bring in these partners, my win rates are higher, and do those key deal reviews with sales. Hey, you brought this deal, you lost it. Like, what ecosystem partners were involved and who did you compete against? And what were the products or native capabilities that platform had? If that makes sense.
If I'm the head of sales at 8x8, what percentage of revenue are you signing up for, kind of a contribution on ARR through the partner kind of ecosystem, or is it just more loose and soft?
So there's two, because the ones we sell for sure, because we do give our sellers like complete quota retirement on that. So those are a little bit of a no-brainer. We're building in more of like an MBO structure, quite honestly, that's going to say, hey, the amount of ecosystem partners that you bring in, there's going to be some sort of a quota, let's say, that has to be fulfilled. Because to be quite honest, we need to evolve as an organization to be successful in this space. And that motion and getting that ingrained in their head. We also want our sellers, when they're on the front end of an opportunity, sell the customer on the concept of ecosystem. Like, this is great. We do this, but you could tie this thing up to anything and it's going to make your business more successful as a result. But longer term, for sure, we want to offer sales compensation because that's salespeople like to get paid.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe. And join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.